Welcome to the Not Null podcast. I'm just an AI voice. But here are your real hosts, Kevin Doyle, Bobby Davis, Paul Bratzlavsky, and Sarah Kimmel.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Not Null podcast, the tech podcast where we talk about everything from AI to VR and robots to flying cars. I'm Kevin Doyle, and this week I am joined by Paul Bratzlavsky, Sarah Kimmel, and Bobby Davis. Coming up in this week's episode, OpenAI is set to release an AI video generation tool. Reddit has signed a contract to sell its content to train an AI model. And some new hardware to talk about, Frame smart glasses, AR that actually looks kinda like a pair of glasses. And then we'll wrap up with the Null, Not Null recommendation section where we recommend a product or service or recommend that you avoid a product or service. Okay, before we jump into today's stories, I got one thing to show you guys and ask you guys. So, math quiz. Okay, are we all ready for a math quiz? Anybody good at math? This is from a thread that my friend Hashim posted on Threads earlier today. And it was talking about how many cubes are on this trailer. And the reason he posted this was because he asked AI to solve this for him. He actually asked Copilot to solve it, giving Copilot the image and saying, hey, how would you go about solving this and what is the answer? Do you think it got it right or wrong?
Wrong.
It sucks at math unless you use a specific extension.
Paul, right or wrong?
So it probably got it. If it got it right, they're making progress, but it's okay. Been very bad at math.
I will tell you, it got it wrong. So,
shocking.
I couldn't get any of them to get it right. Yeah. So here's the thing. There's a number of different ways to solve this, right? And there are, like, there's arguments over the assumptions that this image makes to you, by the way, because there are some assumptions you have to make. It only gives you three sides. There are some assumptions around, what if, like, from the top down, you couldn't tell whether the backside here had all of the cubes here? So you're making some assumptions, and you're making assumptions like they don't leave one out of the middle on the bottom row, right? So there are some assumptions that you have to make that also the AI model could take into account, right? So you'd think like, oh, it could get that right. So I guess the easiest way to kind of solve this is just to take one side and times it by three, right? Because you see it's three wide, and that would be the easiest way to do it. What'd you come up with, Sarah? I saw you working it out.
41.
I think it's 51. I think it's 51. I think you take the 17 on the side here and times by
three.
You were close. You did it right.
The two I added as a one.
Okay, there you go. I'm gonna say you did it right because you never got to that.
51.
Right. So it's 51.
For some
right?
reason, I didn't see the 21. I was just like, okay, there's three, and then I carried the one because I didn't like actually write down that.
So what equation. Was your logic in solving this? How did you go through that process? What did you do to solve?
Yeah, same thing. So I took the sides. So I did 4 times 3, 12.
Okay.
And then the second row, 6 times 3, which 18.
I guess it's deceiving because the top doesn't show any depth.
It doesn't, and that's the problem, right? So that's the assumption you're making here, right? Is that you're assuming it's not trying to trick you with there's one missing from the middle or it doesn't show the depth, or you're assuming that it is a solid object, right? That's one of the assumptions. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not meant to trick you, and it wasn't meant to trick the AI either. Yeah. So here's the thing. So here's what it did. Copilot came up with 44. Okay? Okay, not the best.
Oh, because it's adding the cubes in the view, but okay. Yes. I see wrong.
You see where the mistake it made, right?
Yeah.
Because it can't, it's more of a spatial challenge, right? It can't think, it's an abstract challenge. It can't abstract the images into a 3D model. I guess that's the thing, right?
Right.
Also, I asked then ChatGPT, and I actually posted this back on ChatGPT. ChatGPT came up with 50, which, whoa. It doesn't even like, and that's based on, if we look at it, actually they did show, so ChatGPT used Python to work it out and it got it very wrong. It showed, its logic is just dumb. It doesn't work at all. It didn't get any
Two
part of it right.
Two cubes
it just,
and six columns?
Yes. Yeah, it's so insane. So then I asked Gemini, the newest one from Google. I don't have access to the new Gemini. By the way, I don't have access to Gemini Advance, so maybe Gemini Advance will get it. But this one got the most wrong out of all of them. It said, some people see 12 cubes, other people see 13 or 14. Nowhere on this image is that
there's
even
no right or wrong answer. Know your truth.
No,
that's
no,
fucking
no,
like true Google.
I know. This is so good, right? There is no right or wrong answer. No, Google. There is definitely a right or wrong answer here. So OpenAI is set to release a new video generation tool called Sora. It is a text-to-video generation tool. So you give it a prompt, and it will create a video for you. These videos, and the difference this one to others, is not only is it better than anything I've seen before, it can also make videos that are longer. It can make up to 1 minute videos with multiple shots in them too. And you'll see some of these examples here in a second for those of you that are watching. This is not publicly released yet. It's set to two groups of users. Red teamers are assessing risks. So I'm sure they're trying to get it to produce stuff that they don't want it to ultimately produce and stopping that, hopefully, right?
Fingers crossed.
Is the red team consist of a bunch of 13-year-olds?
It should, right? It should.
They will break it really
exactly
quickly.
Exactly who they
sure.
should be employing.
That's good. That's awesome.
My son's available.
He will prompt this thing to make some horrible, horrible things. Okay, the other people that are using it, there's a select group of visual artists and filmmakers that are being used as well to test this to gain feedback, apparently, to see like how this is performing. So some examples from the website. I picked out some that I actually like here. This one was interesting. This one, the prompt is a movie trailer with a 3D, or with an adventures, the adventure of a 30-year-old spaceman wearing a red wool-knitted motorcycle helmet. Blue sky, salt desert, cinematic style, shot on 35mm film. This one is very weird, but also very, very good. This is one of the much better examples.
Probably they can't do arms and hands
hilarious
very well.
No, if, like he's missing his left arm in that one shot right there.
What will be hilarious is that they're still working on this.
Right there.
And this was actually a movie that they shot.
Maybe that's a show.
Are you sure? I think it's a patch. Like,
yeah, I think it'd be a patch. Yeah, yeah. This one I would say is more, I think it's a patch look. It's one of the better ones. It's the most consistent. It's the one that like just feels like it could actually be real.
Yeah.
There's no real distortion in it. There's no real weird things in it. The person looks real in it. It's one of the better ones. Some here aren't so much. This one was great. Historical footage of California during the gold rush. That's pretty impressive.
I'm like, there's my ancestors. I see them.
Let's go.
Yeah, that one's very good. Then you have this one chasing an SUV down a mountain, like a drone style footage.
Yeah.
Also pretty good. This robot one's pretty good too. You see, some of these are really, really quite impressive. Multiple shots too, by the way. That's the other thing too. Multiple, it's taking a scene and it's creating a scene with consistency across that scene.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Some that aren't so good though. So this one's okay. But this next one here was like,
oh, wow, it goes right through.
Yeah, this though is so weird. This is the one with the chairs.
I'm like, what is this supposed to be?
Archaeological digging for plastic chairs.
Oh my god!
And they kind of appear out of thin air and like they form into weird things and it's kind of skin crawling almost.
It's like a pet chair. Come here, Cherry. Come here.
Oh my goodness. Someone's going to put this on Twitter as like fake news and someone's going to believe that there's like chair aliens. They have visited. They have arrived. This is going to be on the next episode of, was that alien show on the History Channel? Like what the hell happened?
The UFO thing. Yeah.
Ancient aliens.
Ancient aliens. But what if?
They use plastic chairs.
Right.
So it can do weird things. But I do kind of like your sentiment is correct, Paul. Like I think when this goes out to the public, this is going to be a problem. But Sarah, you ready to watch a full AI movie yet? Any of these things?
No, it'll be terrible. I mean, maybe like Mystery Science Theater style watching of the movie, but yeah, no, a full length movie is going to be kind of the worst. But I do see a really good use case, and that's like B-roll for like videos that I create, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like B-roll of like, oh, okay, walking through CES. I mean, sure, there I can't really get that kind of B-roll because like it's just me with me when I'm at right. CES, but stuff like that where I'm like, oh, like here's some great B-roll. Like, oh, I did a video about Amazon try before you buy. And like the B-roll I found is just, you know, like buildings and stuff. But I'm like, I could create some pretty cool B-roll with this.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to, I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be great from a perspective of like, as a creator creating videos with B-rolls, I think it's going to be great. Like for those of you that are watching this example, I'll show this right now, the example here with this video where it's like Santorini and it's like, it's really good. Like in passing until you really, really start looking at it, it looks very realistic.
Yeah.
It really does. It's good enough to pass as a 2 or 3 second B-roll shot for sure.
Right.
But I do worry about how good this actually is now. I think it's to the point where it's going to fool people.
Oh, for sure.
I think for some things it might be. I think it's easy to get to 90%, harder to get to the next 9%, and the last 1%. I mean, next impossible.
I agree 100%, but 90% is good enough. That's the problem.
You'll never make a movie.
The image generation came out and people started, using it to create fake Instagram models and doing the whole thing. So now they have this extra level. And so I'm kind of curious how all the short, like TikTokers and influencers do that dance or do something that's like very, like, you know, it's not like whatever. Like, I think it's going to be interesting. I want to automate some of those TikTokers and not worry about them. You know what I mean? It's like, they're just annoying me so much. It's like, here, compete with, which is terrible. You know, it's
so
like
your plan is to AI automate TikTokers out of existence. That's what you're saying.
Okay. Yes. Or have TikTok. But I mean, the thing is, it's like, this is very scary because this is going to keep getting better and people are going to generate these automated like workflows to be able to generate content. Like your AI doesn't sleep. It doesn't, you just give it a prompt, you give it like, you could have like a whole scheduling, like, you know, produce 80,000 like shorts for your next year. Like, and I'm kind of curious. I think like people who maybe we just didn't see it early enough. I always had my tin hat on, you know, I'm 99% like Terminator's gonna happen. But like, I think they might have known the disruption that was gonna cause and they tried to release things like in pieces, but it's still moving so fast that the world is not going back. Like, it's going to be interesting what's going to happen.
Yeah, but when you go to like movie creation, so like there's the problem here of like editing, putting shots together. It's just really when you really sit down and say, I'm going to make a feature length film and I'm only going to use prompts, they're years or decades away.
I don't think decades. I think we're within a year of somebody making one. Whether it's good or not, I don't know. In a year of somebody saying and making a consistent character in a video that can carry a movie, I think within a year.
The scary part for me is like, I thought that this was not going to move at this quickly of a pace. And with all this stuff, like this is like, I forgot who said it on YouTube, but like everybody says this, but this is like the worst it's going to be. And so it's only going to get better. It's not like it's going to go backwards. My only thing here is that just using a bunch of AI services, like as an individual, that stuff gets expensive really quickly. So I wonder like what will be the cost to create all this AI stuff?
I guess technically, Kevin, in a year, they could beat She-Hulk. I think that's maybe.
I don't think.
What are you saying?
I don't think it's going to be that good. I won't even say it's that good. I'll say it's going to be somebody will put together something that is considered a movie.
They could do it right now.
That is not as good as She-Hulk. but will pass as being the first kind of like AI generated story, if you will, whatever you want to call it, whatever. I don't know what is considered a movie, a short of some kind, but it will exist and it'll carry a consistent character. It may not have dialogue. I don't know. A lot of shorts don't have dialogue. There's plenty of stuff that's on Dust or whatever that has no dialogue, but has a great like a horror story or something, or like a space story. That's going to happen. That's happening in the next 12 months. I'm convinced of it. This is too good.
What I like about this is that you could quickly do ideas like and just do like 1,000 different mini ideas, mini movies that could spark an idea in you to create something cool. And I think that's like for prototyping fast. I think that's interesting.
So I could see this coming into storyboards and things like that, where you could storyboard things. You don't worry about consistency. You're worried about the shot or whatever. Having absolute control over the camera and the stuff like that, it's going to be difficult.
Well, you say that though too, because the other tool that just came out today, which you've been playing with, is Stable Video. Right. So Stable Video, while the videos that it creates are much smaller, so this came out like they put this is in public today. as of this morning. It was a beta before, so some people had access to it, so I've seen some things from this, but it creates 4-second videos, so they're a lot shorter and they're not quite as good. But one of the things that it does do is camera movement. So you can tell it to pan, tilt, zoom, rotate. You can tell it to do all of these different things. So you can somewhat control the camera movement. You can follow. There's some things that you can't have control over. So I think that's going to be something they're actually trying to solve for. I think that's coming too. I think that'll come to the other platform when that comes out as well.
What's the prompt for Cinnamon Toast Crunch dude down there?
This one. Let's see, shall we? What was this prompt? It was from an image, so it wasn't actually a text prompt.
Okay.
This was an image that was uploaded.
Like, so, like our tater tot, maybe? I don't know.
So what is the, go ahead, they got movement in it. So did it go down there? What's the prompt down there that they're doing?
This one was a camera movement that had orbit and pan. Mm-hmm. Were the camera movements that this one had. So it took an image and then it said orbit and pan, and that's what it did with this kind of, like, it orbited and it panned. It's kind of cool.
It orbited and it panned. Weird.
Yeah, it actually, like, it kind of, it knew that. It's kind of, it's good the way that works. So yeah. We did some examples. So I did a couple. One of our previous images that I used for a card, right? So this is a Midjourney created image I put in here, and I told it to orbit these people. So this is what it came up with. So it starts off okay, and then it gets really weird.
Yeah,
it like, gets dude really in front, strange.
Like, look at his face. Like, how? Oh, dude, or chick on the bottom left, like near the end of that. No, bottom left. This one? Yeah, no. That one, like the one right closest to the timeline. Yeah. If you go all the way back to the end, like, look at her nose and everything. Like,
yes. Oh, right here.
Oh, she got punched in the face. Yeah.
Well, I think it gave her a mustache. I think it's But look at this guy behind. It nearly got this guy right, because don't forget, he's not a character in the original photo. Right? Uh-huh. If you look back at the beginning, look, he's kind of blurred back here, which the original photo, by the way, was AI generated. So they looked kind of weird to start off with. And this isn't a real person in the photo, so it didn't do great things with that. But the guy behind, it kind of did fill in the space and
he's
made him
two noses
a person.
Yeah, he does have two noses.
But he always looked weird from the beginning, so kind of strange. So, you haven't seen this yet, Bobby. What do you think it did to you? What do you think it did to you?
I don't know.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry. If this gives, for those that are watching, if this gives you nightmares, I apologize. For those that are listening, this is a picture of Bobby from a Coder Foundry card. And I asked it this time to, I think I asked it to tilt.
Tilt.
Okay.
Okay.
And so this is what it came up with. And I apologize
it's gonna end up flipping us
how
all
disturbing
off.
This is. You might not be wrong, Sarah. Hold on 1 second. So I kind of think in the middle there, I think you do kind of,
I did.
Nailed it.
That's the safety team. Yeah, the red team needs to work like on that. You know?
You better go to a casino and play some blackjack, you know? Even like...
Yeah.
Your hand becomes like a squid tentacle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say it's this one's got a way to go. I think
it's not even close to Sora. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah. I don't think it is either. I think this one's got a way to go. While you can play with this one right now, you can't play with Sora yet. But that's my guess is that's going to be soon. I'm thinking March sometime.
So what,
next couple weeks
when I play with Stability AI, what disappointed me was, like, in the olden days when you had Flash and you could do a tween and you could set up the first image and the last image, it would just do way better than this. And so I thought it would make JPEG sequences, but it doesn't.
No, I don't think that's how it works.
No, it doesn't. That's what I thought it would do, is just generate, you know, 30 frames per second. But it doesn't do that. It does something else where it's just trying to, it's not a very good morph or even a tween like you would in Flash back in the day.
Well, don't forget, it's trying to fill in things that don't exist, though.
Yeah.
Like a tween, like, is different because it's an object that you moved between two spaces.
Yeah.
It didn't try and interpret things that weren't there. This is trying to interpret things that don't exist.
Right.
Which from that aspect is kind of cool, but it doesn't always get it right, clearly, with the people's.
Yeah, and that's when you shoot, like, you're shooting something like a set extension and a camera's moving. Either the objects are really there in space, or they have some kind of 3D element that's in space and the camera's moving through the scene. Either way, the objects are there. Here, the objects don't exist. I just don't know if it can ever get there, because it's got to draw stuff that's not there. So it has to make a lot of assumptions or what. And that's when you get all these blurs and like really weird things, and it doesn't know what it was before. It doesn't have an end shot or a back shot, you know? So like I could see it, or maybe if you had an ending shot and a front shot, maybe it could start doing better, but we'll see.
I always think it's funny because you look, obviously they're pristine examples, and some of these are actually really good. Like they genuinely are good. But these are, of course, their, you know, pristine examples they want us to see.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to run our own versions.
Look what we can do.
Yeah, exactly. So then you look at your own versions, you're like, well, maybe not quite as good as this one.
It doesn't do it the same as that one does it? Yeah.
No, not at all. I mean, some of these are really good, but then, you know, you got to try it for yourself and see what it actually does. So, turns out that Reddit has signed a contract to sell its content to an unnamed AI company to train a model. This is unconfirmed at this point, i.e. Reddit hasn't actually confirmed this. But what do you think your Reddit content is worth to them? They think about $60 million. That's what they've sold it for. That's a pretty nice chunk of change. And again, sold to an unnamed AI company to train a model that we know nothing more about. We just know it's one of the big AI companies. That's all the rumor has said so far.
Like, rhymes with
yeah,
SchmattGPT.
I'm going to say, we can have a guess.
Do you mean the sold or retrospective payment that will avoid some lawsuits? That's what I want to know. Is
could
that what's happening?
It's could like, be hey. That too. Could be that. This is all ahead of a potential, apparently, $5 billion IPO that's going to happen for Reddit in March. That's a lot of money they're going to make. So one of the rumors is, hey, Reddit are trying to say, like, hey, we can sell the data to make money. This makes our IPO worth more money. So, I mean, that makes sense, I guess. We don't know if that's true. Again, they haven't denied or confirmed that. So Reddit users probably not going to be a fan of this move, being on what we've seen from them recently, as early as last year. When a bunch of Reddits went black and shut down for a long time over Reddit charging for API access. Right. And that seems a lot less than basically grouping this all together and selling it onto some third party. Because the people that boycotted everything last year are of the opinion that Reddit isn't anything without its users, and the data belongs to the users, not necessarily to Reddit. Reddit has a different opinion. They think they own it, clearly, because they're selling it for $60 million. So Paul, is something you care about? You care they're selling?
What's Reddit info? Again? What are they
like, some weird online message board. Yes,
I do agree with the community members who kind of hold the key and manage that whole thing, and people giving their feedback, and the fact that they're going to monetize it and sell it because they just want to make their money. But I guess good on them. But I think like you can only do that once. Like, I think this is like, if Reddit does it, I think it's like they're like, we're exiting out, because like, what else are they going to do? Are they going to like continuously, like, because people are going to lose interest. They're going to move on. They're going to just use this API service or whatever, like AI. And they're literally going to replace themselves. And maybe they're fine with it because they're getting a pretty big payout. But it's like, the Hail Mary of Reddit. It's like, we're going out of business anyway. No one cares. It's like, let's just get our money and, you know, dance our way to the bank. basically, that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because Bobby and I had this conversation the day this came out, and I was like, we came to the exact same conclusion. It was just like, they don't really care.
No.
They don't really care, because they're going to take the money and be like, I don't care if everybody boycotts it tomorrow, because we're going to make this amount of money and we're going to go for this IPO. Maybe give it a week for the IPO to happen, right? But then they're going to cash out. The people at the top are literally cashing out, because somebody, the users, if they want to, will just move to another platform where they don't sell the information.
Yeah, I think like just this whole information thing is going to change due to AI. And I feel like the services that we had in the past, they're just all going to disappear. And, you know, we're just going to consume the models directly just to get what we need. And that's just going to be controlled by like the few corporations that have the logistics and the money, like, you know, Microsoft or like whatever. Like, and so, yeah, it's, to me, I feel like we're not going back. The AI is here to stay, and it's going to change things in the ways that we didn't even suspect yet. You know, I mean, like I literally am shocked because I thought things would move in a slower pace. And now the way things are coming out, it's like, holy crap.
So my big problem with it, oh, sorry, Bob. My big problem with it is there's a lot of stuff on Reddit. And so if you're training a language model based on the information that is in Reddit, where do you go for truth? Like,
yeah,
there is going to be so much misinformation just because there's so many differing opinions on Reddit that I'm like, I just don't know how you parse all of that.
I'm hoping they would be selective over which subreddits they choose. I hope. I don't know if it's all of it, but I would hope that they would be. Because you're right, there's some subreddits that you're like, that's not that. Just it's not.
But you need to know about your alien news.
Right.
Oh no, that one's in.
You need to know about the flat earth, right?
What are you talking about? Yeah, flat earth subreddit's definitely in.
So the thing that I think's value about Reddit, especially technology issues, okay, let's just say that people are talking about technology on there and I'm reading a Reddit on R programming. You can read through 8 or 9 or 10 responses and you determine what's truth. Here the AI is just gonna pick one of those or meld them together and come up with something. You know, it's 13 or 14 or 15. There's no right or wrong answer. And there always is. So I think that's the problem. And I don't know how much data you can stick into a model. I think there's diminishing returns for how much data goes in here.
Yep.
For a model anyway. So like, I don't know if it hasn't reached peak already for text generation, you know, answering things.
That's true.
That's different. But like, I don't know if you should ever ask AI to answer something definitively or just give you ideas and write text. Every time we use it, we always change it when we use it. So we're always trying to give us the idea generation is fantastic. Whole creation of documents, it just doesn't do well. I don't know. I think Reddit's a superior interface when you're trying to look for answers though, than trying to like one answer you get back. Yeah, I would just think that Reddit and you look through all the responses, you can figure things out better. And you can look at multiple responses and go, that's kind of, that guy's full of crap or I like that. That's kind of interesting. You know,
it was funny because I'm the opposite about Reddit. And so I thought when you were laughing, you were just laughing on the fact that Reddit is so silly and that of course ChatGPT is going to replace it because you're just going to get the things that you want. I mean, and Reddit people they all have feelings that they have to share with their like opinions. And then God forbid your opinion's different, then it's like they have to write this whole like essay where you went wrong in life and to tell you like how there's no hope for you. And
I think the thing is with Reddit, there's as much good information as there is bad.
Yeah.
So there are some like, you know, there's literal rocket scientists on Reddit posting in like, you know, our rocket science or whatever. You know, there's literal mathematicians on there. They're like genius in their field that post on there. And then there's dude down the street who has no idea who's also posting on our rocket science. And it's everything in between.
Yeah.
So it's good and bad. But that collection, like, ultimately, like, what do you get? I'm not sure.
How do you parse from a that training information? AI model. That's what exactly. I can't even imagine trying to, like, figure out what's real and what's not.
Yeah, even things like, for me, programming is you look for answers. So Stack Overflow being, like, the Reddit competitor for programming. You would look through there, and even then, I'll see the top upvoted one a lot of times, and I'll go, why don't y'all upvote this? This is completely wrong. Like, you know, and you go down, and you're like, find the one guy at the bottom, and you're like, yeah, that's the one I want. And that's because my use case may be different, and that's the problem with questions. When you want specific answers, it can kind of vary based on your use case.
Yeah. So I'm guessing this is probably whoever's sold this to and whoever's buying this. Maybe the Reddit information that they're actually now purchasing isn't the only source of information in this model, I would guess.
No.
It would need more than just this isn't the Reddit AI that they're this is plus, hopefully. But like Paul said, I have the same suspicions that it's probably OpenAI and they're just paying back taxes on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's already in. They've already used it. They've now just selling it because legally buying it. Exactly. Yeah. That's my guess. I don't think we see anything new about it because how would we know whether it's added or not added? I guarantee you it's already in OpenAI's ChatGPT's data set. There's no way Reddit isn't already in there.
100%. 100%. They scraped it like so many years ago. This is Reddit's way. Like, let's just take whatever money we can, like they don't care.
Yep.
They don't care. Yep. Like they really don't. Like
I think ultimately one of the leaders will say that eventually. They'll take their money, they'll cash out of the IPO, and they'll leave the company, and they'll say, yep, by the way, that deal we made, yeah, that was OpenAI. We just took the money. We'd already sold it.
Yep. Right.
Essentially. Yep. Yep. We just weren't getting paid. Then we got paid.
They were already using it. We said we'd sue unless they paid us.
Yeah, but I would not be surprised.
What would be funny, like if every service basically came to that where it's all trained with AI, and if you are on the free tier, they just give you all the bad posts. It's like that method, like that pizza rocket scientist eating dude who probably never left his house. And then, like, if you want to get the real stuff, you got to pay like the premium $50. Here's an interesting thing. I recently discovered a book called The Sparrow. It's a weird book, but it was written in 96. And one of the things that they talk in that book, how they have these vultures or like people who basically will take the expert in their field and they will train AI models. So that way they could replace those human beings for their knowledge work. And instead, like, people just interact with the AI models. And I was like, wow, in 96, some, author had this foresight. And now it's like, yes, let's build these knowledge bases with AI. So, you know, Microsoft, Google, and the other two big companies that have the resources basically control the data, control the answers.
I just think that people are underestimating creativity and humanity and experimentation.
No,
and
all
that kind of stuff. They just underestimate. You can't.
There's
just
no
put
creativity.
A bunch of text in something and think that's going to beat someone that's really smart.
Yeah,
they have a need to do something. You know, invention.
You're not going to beat like. Then this is what I feel like. There's going to be the super smart people, and then there's going to be everybody else.
Right.
Like so. Yeah. Like, it's like, and it's and I think like there's going to be a resurgence of those type like super smart scientists, you know, building, figuring things. But I think it's going to replace a lot of busy work, I feel like, you know, and so we will have more room to be creative. And if you're not like that, my question is, but what if you don't have it in you to be creative? It's like, what do you do then?
Let's talk about glasses then, and specifically frame smart glasses. The AR glasses that actually look kind of like a normal pair of glasses. And I say kind of because those of you that are looking can see them. They're kind of like a pair of glasses.
I don't know. Worst glasses stylized. Shape ever.
I mean, they're very stylized. For those of you that aren't looking at this and are listening to it, they are very round. They're very round glasses, but they do look like glasses in the fact that they have two lenses and arms attached to them, right? I guess that's the glasses part, right? Versus like having AR with, you know, a big like headset, whatever. They don't look like a Vision Pro or a Quest or anything like that. They look like an actual pair of glasses. So we've been saying we wanted this for a long time, right? We've been saying we wanted AR in a glasses form factor. So we're starting to see some people do this. So frame glasses, they're from a company called Brilliant Labs. They are very similar in terms of the AI part that's built into it, because yes, of course, they have AI built into them. They're very similar to the Ray-Ban Meta glasses. You can speak to them and they will answer questions back. So they can do things like identifying what you're looking at because they do have a camera in them. It's powered by OpenAI and Perplexity. I guess OpenAI is doing the vision part and Perplexity is doing the vocal part, the voice part of it. But the difference here is there is a screen and it's giving you the information back on a screen in the lens versus the Ray-Bans that are just talking to you. So it has a 640 by 400 pixel micro color micro OLED in. I think, I don't know if it's both of the screens. Did anybody see if it was both of the lenses? I thought it was one, but I'm not sure.
I can't remember. I mean, because I watched the video. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember if it was one or two, but anyway, there's a screen in there or two screens. I'm not quite sure. $349 these are going to be available April 15th. So this is not vaporware. This is like, you can pre-order it right now. It's apparently coming in just over a month and a half or so. So $50 more than the Ray-Bans, by the way. The Ray-Bans are $299. So get a screen. I don't know. It's kind of like, kind of interesting. They have a 1280 by 720 camera in them. I have a microphone. They have a 222 milliamp battery, which I thought was an interesting stat. That's a small battery. So I don't know how long these last charge-wise or how much, because there's no details on that yet. But that is a very small battery. Bearing in mind your phone, I think, has like a 10,000 milliamp battery in it, something around, generally around that size, maybe a little bit more these days. So very, very kind of small battery in it, but who knows what it needs to power and what it needs to do. But it has a screen, so I'm guessing bad battery life. That's going to be my guess. I don't know, but I'm guessing it's bad battery life.
It said all day. Like, it said a day.
Okay.
I mean, whether or not that's true.
I could be surprised. Yeah. It could. Maybe it's all day, like, I don't know. You know how when phones come out and they're like, it's like 72 hours battery life. You get it home and it's like 8 hours in. You're like, yeah, I got to charge this. Like, you know, real.
Well, my watch has a screen and I get a week out of this.
Okay.
So it's possible.
Maybe it's, it's possible. Yeah, maybe it's possible. We'll see. So Bobby, is this something you're interested in? Is the next pair of glasses? You want AR versions of your glasses?
I think AR glasses are cool. These spikely lookalikes, I'm not really too interested in.
Okay. Okay.
So they're kind of ugly. They do have to be kind of cool. But AR, augmented reality, you know, pass-through screens that just give you contextual information based on where you're at, it's kind of cool. Yeah. You know, that way you don't have to look down at your phone when you're trying to Google something. You can just ask the device. I think it's the next wave, or what I call the screen shift, that's coming. It's going to be in glasses. It's going to be in windshields if you don't have to drive the car. It's going to be in lots of things so people can serve you ads as you walk around.
Yeah.
Oh, that's coming.
Exactly, that is
100% coming. There's no doubt. There's a reason that when we saw that kind of thing in Minority Report and all of these like dystopian futuristic movies, they have that is because it is 100% going to be the first thing that they're looking at on these kind of glasses.
Yeah.
How can we give you an ad?
An ad based on who you are, where you are, and which is two important things. If you're driving down the highway, the car could say, hey, I have a specialized coupon for Chick-fil-A. Take the next exit.
Yep.
You drive in and they're expecting you to come in there. You could even tell it to order ahead of time. All this stuff could be really, really cool.
And Starbucks is going to be the thing.
Starbucks
will jump on this so quick.
Yeah.
They really will. Their app is good. And the app, like, once you have the app on your phone, if you allow push notifications for it, it pesters you every day with different deals.
It'll
so I guarantee you. Yeah. They do gamify it. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
They do. They're like, buy three drinks in the next 3 days and get 58 bonus stars or whatever it is. They're like, get your third drink free. Like, I guarantee you, when that's in the glasses, Starbucks are all about this.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we just say, you're buying Starbucks right now. You usually get one at 3. It's 3. Yeah. You want one?
Yep. Oh, it will. Yeah.
Your chai tea latte is ready.
You know, it's ready for you.
You know how annoying those, like, mobile game ads are with ads?
Yeah.
Imagine that you can't escape.
I think if it takes over like that, like where it's as annoying as mobile games, I don't think people use it. Like, no. I think people would opt out of the whole experience if that's what the experience they're going to get. But I can absolutely see like Bobby's use case. Like, hey, you're passing a Starbucks. Like, you want some?
What if the glasses were free?
And the free television doesn't work either.
Exactly. Well, I'm like, how many free TVs did they give out?
Telly.
A lot, though. They did give out a lot. This is the thing.
No way.
But did they
tons
actually?
Of people signed up for it. Yeah.
Really?
No, they really did. They genuinely did. A lot of people signed up for it.
Oh,
a lot of people signed up for it. It's the same.
Oh,
so here's the thing. We talked about streaming services, right? The most popular streaming service is the paid ad-supported version. Because we're just kind of like, we're okay with getting the ads and paying less. So if they gave us the glasses for free, would we say, okay, serve me ads. I'll take the glasses for free.
I would not sign up for that.
Yeah, right. I mean, you guys signed up for Amazon like in seconds.
Yeah, in seconds. Like, just let me, where do I pay to get these ads off out of here?
Yeah, but then there are people. There are lots of people. My point is the streaming services tell us that people are willing to see ads if it costs them less. Yeah. So it's the most popular version. Well, I'm not one of them. There are lots of people that are. So,
like, that's not me.
I could see this being a thing. I could see it being a thing.
In Amazon's defense,
I mean, these aren't that expensive right now.
They only have one ad in the beginning, which is great. They don't really push them into the middle and stuff like that.
Cool. Yet.
Max is different. Max has them all over the place. So.
I'm like, I don't know that I would count on that to continue.
Maybe it's some other. Maybe it's not Max. I'm watching. Yeah, I got like 8 services. I can't keep track of them. So.
Hulu is generally the worst for ads if you have the non-ad supported version.
I pay for no ads on Hulu. That's important for me.
Okay. I don't know if I would own these or not in the form factor that they're in. You know what they reminded me of? The bad guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark, the guy that gets his face melted.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. The German guy.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I don't think I look like
okay.
him.
Okay, okay, you guys, legit. There's a guy in my neighborhood who looks just like that guy. And really? Like when we first like saw him, like he's at our church. When we first saw him, my husband like pulls up of like an image of that guy from Raiders, and he shows it to me, and I'm like, oh yes, that guy.
He now needs these.
Yeah, I keep expecting his face to melt off, but it still hasn't.
Nice.
But yeah, it reminded me of Dexter's Lab or something like that. I'm like, there's no way I would buy these in that form factor.
I know, they're too stylized, aren't they? Like, why couldn't they put regular? I don't know why they have to be round. I think it's something to do with, because this company, by the way, this Brilliant Labs, if you noticed on their website, they also had another product, and we'd seen this product before, it was the monocle. It was that one singular lens that you could put over your eye, and it was round. And I'm assuming it, just because they'd already built it, they now just slapped it in a pair of glasses and made it thinner. I'm pretty sure that's what's happened here. Mm-hmm. The form factor was already dictated by the product they already had, so they just made the lenses round. I don't think they have a product where they can make them any other shape of glass, I don't think. And that's why we're seeing it like this.
It may have something with the electronics in the frame and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yep. There were too many people to look at the Meta glasses when I was at CES, so I like just kind of passed on by. But I can't remember if they have the bone conducting speakers as well. But I thought that was impressive for this, where it's got the like bone conducting speakers. I'm like, that's really smart for a glasses.
The Meta doesn't have that. They have actual speakers because people have been complaining about it being too loud.
Oh, yeah. So that makes sense. Yeah. So I think this is the better way to do it, roundness aside on the frame.
My Shox headset is the best thing I've bought in a long time as far as like cycling or whatever. Like it never comes off. And then when you're talking on that, no one can hear the other speaker. That's really great.
Yeah. I think that technology is impressive and is just right for any type of glasses for sure.
I was just gonna quickly say, because I've been obsessing with this video thing now, like stable video, not as good, but listen,
he's like, let's go back.
I mean, for the OpenAI probably is going to be amazing, but I'll send it in the link here. I just created a prompt. It says two cyborg squirrels fighting over an acorn in a post-apocalyptic, I can't even pronounce it, Cyberpunk Neon Tokyo 35mm. Look at what it did.
Throw it in chat.
He just did. Like this is gonna be like if this is what we like, we're good. We're good. We're safe.
Oh, what happens? Why do they turn into chickens?
how do squirrels work? Are they just morph through their butts and walk the other way, apparently?
Wow. That's epic. This is why you've got to run your own examples through these tools, because this is the kind of stuff you get when you look at their nice sanitized versions and you're like, wow, that's impressive. Then you run your own thing and you get this.
See, Bobby's, I think, more accurate with the 10 years.
Wow.
So that's the thing, like, because there's no originality. It's all based on something that I've seen before. And so I've kind of realize I have a superpower of figuring out obscure like situations that AI will be messed up.
You know, it will not be able to.
So confused. There's
another one. I wanted Midjourney. I said, generate me a magician pigeon dealer, a magician who deals in pigeons, who are selling a pigeon to a tiger wizard. And it just couldn't do it. It just all messed up, it's all like, broken. And so it's not capable of my obscene imagination.
This is good. Okay, let's move on to our recommendation section then, our knows and our not knows. So I'm going to start off this week a little bit differently, because we had a listener not know recommended to us.
Woo-hoo!
So we got an email.
Okay.
Yeah, we got an email to our awesome email address, thenotknowpodcast@awol.com, from Rebecca. So Rebecca is a former Coda Foundry graduate. She graduated from Coda Foundry in December 23. So Rebecca's recommendation for us, Rebecca's not null, was the local library, which I thought was great, and explicitly because they give you free access to Udemy through something called Gale. So if you didn't know, your local library is more than just checking out books. If you go to your local library, the online access that you get with your library card gives you access to all kinds of cool things. You can access, like, there's digital books, there's resume writing services, there's genealogy services, and one of the things was Udemy. So Udemy being a paid service, you get all these Udemy courses, you can get them for free through your local library.
How do you download them right there and take them home, or what do you have to work on them?
No, it's online. You use your library card. You sign up for your local library, use your library card, and sign in through a portal, and it gives you full Udemy access.
Oh, from your home. So you can.
From home.
I didn't know you could log into your library from. I thought you had to go use their 1980 beige computer.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Okay. Well,
they're 1980. They're finally CRM monitor.
To the new modems. You know, not the 1400, but the 28.
They got the 28.8.
28.
Yeah, they're making big upgrades there. 6K. Somebody's going to watch it and be like, what the hell is Paul talking about?
Ding, ding.
So yeah, you get to access it from home. So once you sign up for your local library, and most local libraries do this. So the one for us here does. I checked it out.
The Kernersville local library has.
No. Okay. If you're Forsyth County, you can sign up for Winston-Salem. Winston-Salem Public Library has this. So
yeah, we have like 20 books in the Kernersville local library.
So yeah, definitely a good recommendation. Thanks for the null.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you, listener Rebecca.
Okay, so who wants to go first? I'll go down the list. Let's do Paul. You're first in my list.
I'll go because I really enjoy sci-fi books. I listen to them on Audible, but I've been enjoying this book called The Sparrow, the one that I just mentioned earlier today. So The Sparrow, that one. Yeah, it's very interesting. Very interesting. And then I'm going to recommend the movie Cool World. Because, I mean, Cool it's World. Not for children, but it's got Brad Pitt in it when he was young, so it's amazing.
Okay.
But I love Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I feel like I remember seeing, like, it's like previews for this.
This looks familiar.
I was 13, so that's right around the time.
Yep, that's me too.
The first question, by the way, on here on search is Cool World a kid movie? So, no. Off limits for children is the general consensus here.
And I think this is before, like, the other Japanese anime became popular. I think they were breaking. No. But it's a great, great, great story for 13-year-old boys to watch. Yeah. When I was, that's why it stuck.
I like it.
I think that was my first love, that movie. That's Brad Pitt. Oh, God.
Sounds about right.
I was going to ask, actually, if it came. This actually answered my question right here. If it came after Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and it did.
Yeah.
So I guess that was a genre leading thing because it looks has that vibe to it, doesn't it? Very similar animation style.
If you've seen the behind the scenes stuff for the Who Framed Roger Rabbit, it's amazing. Like how the actor was, like how he's acting in the scene without the character. Yeah. Like it's kudos to him because it was like those scenes are just mind blowing.
It's a good movie. I haven't seen this in a long time.
It's so good. It stands the test of time. Like we've watched it recently and it's like still really good.
Christopher Lloyd. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, go check out Paul's recommendation. Cool World.
Yeah.
Okay, Sarah, what you got this week?
Okay, so my husband snores.
I'm sure he's going to love you sharing that with us here.
I know, right? He didn't always, and I don't know, like, you know, the last like couple years or so, it like is getting progressively worse. But anyway, I bought these for like, I bought it for my kids to take to camp so they can like, cause they fall asleep to music, you know? And so it's like, it's headphones, but it's in like, you know, in a little like headband. Okay. And so I put these on and I have ocean sounds. Like it's like, whoosh.
So the solution to your problem isn't to stop him snoring, it's to just block it out.
Block it out. Yep. Makes sense. Okay.
We're not fixing this. I need to do something else.
Yeah, this is it.
I like it.
We're trying some things, but like, and I might have a not null on that next week, but
if it works.
If it works. But anyway, but I've been using this for a really long time, and like, you know, so I can sleep, and like, and it's all just, you know, white noise.
And they're not irritating in the,
no.
Like the headphones aren't, they're kind of flat.
And they're Bluetooth.
And I'm a side sleeper, so what?
Okay.
It's Bluetooth?
Yeah, Bluetooth.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, cool. I didn't even know that existed. That's a product I've never even heard of before. That's
yeah.
Cool.
So, oh, sorry. Anyway, it's called Music Cozy. Music Cozy.
Music Cozy. Okay.
Yeah. It was like literally like $15 on Amazon. Like they're
wow,
not expensive.
Wow. Okay.
I will make sure the link is down there.
Yeah.
If Bose made it, it'd be $249.
I know, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What you got this week, Bobby?
Okay. So I know that Valentine's Day has passed, but if you're looking for a unique gift that hasn't been overplayed yet, okay, one that guaranteed to work, it's called Syndicate.
Ooh,
so you have to look at the video, and the video is accurate. This does work. I promise you. I sent this to my wife for Valentine's Day, and I'm just saying, send a cake.
Oh, this is one of those. Okay.
Totally works though. It works exactly like that. So these little butterflies are in there. They got rubber bands on them, and they pack them into the cake. And when you open it up, they come out flying, you know, and you win the day.
Then you win the day.
/ scare the person to death.
Yeah, they just thought it was cool. They Kelly wanted to like wind them up and put them back in and do it again, you know.
So, yeah.
Nice. Oh, that's always a good sign. Yeah. Let's go again. And you get a cake. It's like that's kind of cool. Yeah, yeah.
But they got different styles, whatever you want to do, and you can pick different boxes. And there's a Harry Potter one that's kind of cool.
Cute.
Oh yeah, here we go. Look, yeah, yeah.
The big question, how did the cake taste?
We didn't eat the cake.
Oh.
You didn't eat the cake.
Well, that's kind of pointless then.
She loved the box with the flowers, so same, you know.
So. What'd you do with the cake?
Yeah. Put it in the fridge.
Okay.
Bobby, you're doing it wrong.
You gotta eat the cake. It's called send a cake.
Not send flowers send a box.
Why did they put this cake with these flowers? I mean, seriously.
What is this stupid?
What is this stupid thing?
It's very cool. I think you'll like it. You know, and you'll be a hit until it's played out. So like, you know, if you don't do it this year, next year, everyone's done that. Yeah. Like, yeah, I've seen the whole box with the butterfly thing.
Oh, that's the stupid butterfly cake box. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that for last birthday.
There you go. Billionaire box. That's what we need right there, man. The billionaire box. Throws out money.
Just throws cash out.
There
we go.
Funny.
Throwing cash.
Make it rain, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Make it rain.
I like it.
Man, you get $1 billion for only $60. That's pretty good.
That's like loot boxes in real life, basically.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, it is.
I need to know how the cake tastes. Like, that's... I'm so disappointed, yeah. Bobby. So
the cake
looks okay.
I'm sure the cake's fine. It's just, you know...
Well, is it, though? I mean...
It was just fun to open.
Yeah, but if the cake's bad...
Put a thing that, like, comes out and smashes the cake in someone's face, yeah. That'll be cool.
It pops thing. Out, too. Oh, like one of those pies.
But the cake is wrapped in there, so I would say this: if you do get it and you got it for a couple of days, it'll be fine. It's kind of like shrink wrapped in there, so it'll stay fresh.
Yep.
But it was kind of cool. Works.
Yeah, definitely. I like it. That's neat. That's neat. Okay, my recommendation this week then is very boring compared to that.
I mean, how do you top
explode
that?
I know exactly. Mine doesn't explode in butterflies or throw cake at you, or even include cake, unfortunately. But let's say that you'd eaten that cake and then you need to move your TV. And you move your TV and you get your horrible, grubby cake hands all over your TV screen. Right? That could happen. Right?
Right.
So what do you clean your TV screen with? Right? Here's what a lot of people do. They get out the Windex and a paper towel and they wipe down their TV. Right? This happens. I've seen it happen. I've been like, what are you doing? You're killing me. So there is a great product that you can buy that means that you don't have to do that. Firstly, you shouldn't use a paper towel. Paper towels are made with wood. They can scratch your TV screen, period. Paper is made from wood. Remember that, people. And paper towels are made from quite a coarse wood. Like, it can be, it's kind of coarse. They can have chips in it. Just be careful. So what you need is a cleaning cloth, like one of these microfiber cloths, and then this thing, which is great. This is the best one that I found. It's, I'm guessing Evio, premium screen cleaner. It is not harsh chemicals like Windex, which if you use Windex, by the way, also has chemicals in it that will ruin coating on your screen. Yeah, it will literally take it off some screens. It seems good for the first time until you realize my TV looks different now. Why is it glaring so badly?
Because you took the coating off it. That hurts my heart.
Yes. Yes. So get something like this. It's like $15 on Amazon. This is not stupidly expensive stuff. And it works amazingly. This is the best one that I've tried so far. I've tried some of the wipes before. Those electronic wipes.
Right. Yeah. I've tried those. Pre on them. Terrible.
And they're okay. But they didn't get all the smudges off.
Like, mine leaves streaks. Yeah.
This doesn't leave streaks.
Nice.
That's the greatest thing. It doesn't leave streaks. I just bought that really expensive TV and I needed to clean it because the guy putting it up on the wall, you know, put smudges on it. Like, and I've got to move it here soon. So, yeah.
Cake hands.
I just.
When you're moving your TV, cake hands, you got to wipe them off.
Got to wipe off the cake hands.
If that company needs like a slogan, because my mind just thinks of the worst way possible. They could say, this is really bad. I'm sorry that I'm doing this to you right now. It would literally go, unlike your underwear, it doesn't leave you.
Oh. I'm going to have to cut that now from this.
Come on. Maybe, no, it's not going to make the cut.
Comedy gold.
Too rough. I had to do it.
It's fine. It's all right. Yeah, so $20 it is now, but I think I got it for $15 when it was on. So look for it on sale too. Plus, you get 5% off if you order it. Sure. It's on Amazon. Definitely worth the purchase. You know, you can clean your monitors with it. Actually, your glasses with it too. Monitors, glasses, anything with a coating on it that like Windex takes off. This is the kind of thing you want to do, which is actually most things these days.
Right.
Don't be spraying Windex on your laptops, people. It's not good for it. It is not good. Okay, that's it for this week's episode of the Not Know Podcast. One thing you can do for us, if you can let a friend know about the podcast, that'd be great. Another thing you could do for us, you can send us an email. Where can they send that email to, Sarah?
TheNotKnowPodcast@AOL.com.
That is it. TheNotKnowPodcast@AOL.com. So if you have a Not Know recommendation for us, something that we should check out, like Rebecca did this week with the library, send it in, drop us an email, and we'll see if we can read it out on here and get your Not Know mixed in with ours.
We just got our 28.8 modem, so it'll download real quick.
Real quick, we upgraded. One extra thing you could do, leave us a review and rating somewhere. That'd be awesome, too. Wherever you listen to this podcast, if that is an option, that helps us out tremendously. And we'll catch everybody next week.